Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday in the Northwoods. It is the final Wednesday of May. Starting to feel a lot like summer in the Northwoods, which is exactly what we want. And we have two guests right back in the studio with us. We have Keith Hansey back here, as he has been the Iron Man pretty much throughout the course of this season. And do my eyes deceive me? We finally have John Long back in the studio. Look at you, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, contract negotiations had broken down, but we were able to come to a resolution.
I'm glad. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We're doing good.
Fantastic.
I mean, it's feels like summer.
Yes.
Warm in the morning and storming in the afternoon.
That's how it was for you yesterday at the Quamet Show,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was.
We got a lot to get into here today. Coming up, we are going to chat with Locked On Brewers podcast host Chuck Freeman. We're going to chat about the Brewers' recent stretch, including them sweeping the Cardinals today. Hopefully, we'll get baseball coach Jason Olsen, and not sure if we'll be able to, but regardless, Keith and I will be at Tyler Carl Memorial Field tomorrow for the playoff baseball game between Tomahawk and Crandon. We'll have more details on that coming up in just
playoffs.
A little bit. Playoffs? Did someone say playoffs?
Playoffs? Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
You missed that. But unfortunately, we have got to begin with some news that broke Tuesday evening yesterday. And there's a certain Packers player that unfortunately has hit. So in case you missed it over the last 24 hours, or if you've been simply living under a rock, according to the Associated Press, Josh Jacobs has been arrested on the following criminal charges: domestic battery, criminal damage to property, disorderly conduct, victim intimidation, strangulation, and suffocation. Now, here are all the details that have been leaked so far. We're going to be as accurate as we possibly can here with this. Hobart Lawrence Police Chief Michael Renkes said that Jacobs was arrested. He turned himself in to the Brown County Jail. Strangulation and suffocation is considered a felony, and then the other four are misdemeanors. Jacob's lawyers, who are David Chesnoff, Richard Schofield, and Clarence Duhok, issued a joint statement on his behalf saying that he vehemently denies the allegations, and this matter is in the early stage of the investigation with important evidence that has not been made public. They ask for fairness and restraint while the judicial process takes its course. Now, earlier today, Jacobs was released on bail. Again, no criminal charges have been filed yet. He's been arrested. He was arrested for those particular offenses earlier today. Looking at what his lawyer said today after he was released, they requested additional investigation as there is reason to believe there is additional evidence that may exist that would impact whether criminal charges are issued. They're extremely pleased that Josh was released and that no criminal charges have been filed against him. We encourage everyone to keep an open mind while the matter is fully reviewed. They remain confident that once all of the evidence is gathered and evaluated, it will confirm that no charges should be brought to Josh in the future. As for head coach Matt LaFleur, he says that he knows that there are a lot of questions about Josh. He's going to stick with the statement that they put out as an organization and let the process play out, which honestly is, I think, the right move. So, John, we're going to get you in right away here. Your take.
Well, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to hold judgment until that this process, you know, works itself out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, typically, where there is smoke, there is fire.
Yes.
I really love watching Josh Jacobs on the field, and by all accounts has been a really good locker room guy and just an overall good guy from everything that I've heard from different, you know, people that are close to the Packers organization. So I'm really hoping that there's some kind of an explanation of this that doesn't lead to him being arrested. But, you know, the process has to go through the process, and we'll have to see. And the Packers, I'm sure, are scrambling to put together a contingency plan, and we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, definitely. You know the Packers are got an eye on it, the NFL Players Association, the NFL, everybody.
Yep.
You know, but, yeah, until formal charges are come forward, mm-hmm. you know, he's still charged with these, but innocent till proven guilty, I guess. I don't know.
So here's my thing. So there's a couple of ways I'm going to go with this. First of all, let's go ahead and just say everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Right? Mm-hmm. These are just allegations. We don't know the facts. There's nothing else that has come out at this point in time. Hopefully we'll have more in the coming days. So there are two things I'm going to take a look. I went back over the weekend. I decided to unplug for the weekend. I actually took up reading, which is surprising for me. I read a book. Do you guys remember Demora Smith? Do you know who he is?
Yep.
He is the former director of the NFL Players Association.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
So he was the Players Association executive director during the collective bargaining agreements, during the Spygate scandal, the Bountygate scandal, Deflategate, and also the Ray Rice situation. So he's the one that helped put together the current personal conduct policy that's in place by the NFL.
Yep.
And he talked about, and I'm going to bring up this name, the whole Ray Rice situation. And remember, because there was full proof, there was a full video evidence that Ray Rice committed a crime. And I'm not asking anyone to go back and watch the video. If you're crazy, you can. But it's very graphic and it's very disturbing.
It's bad.
It's really, really bad. And he talked about how essentially he had to bend over, essentially how it was kind of like pulling teeth for the owners to try and get some sort of policy put in place. So the fact that this has come up, at least a lot of it is fresh in my mind. So how this works with the personal conduct policy, because that's what this is, essentially, is that the first offense is a 6-game suspension. So Jacobs is definitely going to be facing that once the regular season begins. Second offense is a year suspension, and then third is permanently banned from the league. Nobody has gotten a third strike since this has been put in place. So this is very, very new. Now, let me go another route here. There is a possibility, I'm not saying that this is true by any stretch of the imagination. We have seen instances in when allegations that are made turn out to be 100% completely false or just simply not true. Because I go back to the Matt Araiza situation, the punter from San Diego State. Remember the whole hullabaloo about the lawsuit that was filed against him? It turned out that the accuser ended up lying about the whole situation, and it ended up costing his job in Buffalo. He had to, fight for another one to get to Kansas City. So that's the other thing. And then the other name I'm going to point out is Brian Banks. And if you don't know who Brian Banks is, Brian Banks was this highly sought after high school football recruit. I believe he was located in Southern California, and he was getting offers from everywhere: USC, Stanford, all the big, Pac-10 schools, all the big schools across the country. Until a false rape accusation was made against him, and as a result, he lost everything. And it took 5 years for him to erase his name from that. And there's a movie on it called Banks, if you want to look it up. It's very, very good. But there's also the instance of, we have false accusations that have ruined people's lives, and sometimes it's just athletes being dummies. Mm-hmm. and being, I'm sorry for my language, but asses. Mm-hmm. At this point. I hope that these allegations are not true, because I genuinely think that Josh Jacobs is a very good running back, and I think that the league is better, and I think that the Packers are better with him. But I hate to say this, we may have seen the last of him in a Packer uniform, regardless of how this plays out.
Well, that's just that you hope that this investigation is swift and conclusive, and then everybody can move forward one way or the other. And like I said, I want to be optimistic that these are false allegations, and
no matter what, though, there's going to be that black cloud,
right? Unfortunately,
it's usually not a swift, fast process.
Right. No, it's not.
So it goes, and then if it's months down the road and they do clear it, that's usually not as big a headline as it is today.
Yes, it is. That's very true. So. And again, the other thing to point out is we'll go back to the Kareem Hunt situation that happened as well a few years ago, when Hunt was caught, on camera, obviously, committing a crime on a woman. He ended up getting released by the Chiefs that particular season. Now, he has been able to bounce back and have a decent NFL career. He was a backup running back in Cleveland. He was a backup running back in Kansas City for the last few years as well. We bring up the Zeke Elliott of how that situation manifested itself back in 2017, if I recall correctly. The NFL does not take kindly to this.
No.
They do not take kindly to this situation. So my best guess is that unfortunately Josh Jacobs is going to be released, regardless of what happens here. Because a suspension is coming, and if you're Green Bay, you're fighting not just for playoffs, Bob, but there's talk about this team also potentially being a Super Bowl contender, especially with being with having Micah Parsons and Tucker Kraft hopefully back. You're going to want to have as few distractions as you possibly can. And right now, unfortunately, this is a distraction.
And typically, the Packers are not a team that has a lot of distractions.
No.
Historically.
Not a high tolerance for or anything that's, you know, even remotely close to the situation.
Right. And I think the other thing, what's surprising about this, guys, I can't recall we obviously have seen NFL players of elite stature get accused of heinous things. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen really elite Packers get accused of something like this because it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I mean, you've had a couple. The only two that really have happened over the last 5 years under Brian Gutekunst's watch was Devontae Wyatt. Remember, they went over, you know, everything with him, his legal issues before he got drafted. And then the Rashid Walker situation last year. Mm-hmm. That's really it. Now, again, you go back. I know that there was a
Mark Shimura
had some issues. That was after he retired, though. Eric Walden, I think, had a couple of issues as well right around the time, right in the mid-2000s. Still was able to come back and have a couple of decent seasons with the Colts. But this is disturbing. And what I would like people to understand is, regardless of how this is going to play out, there is no denying that this is a huge, huge blow to Jacobs, a huge blow to his legacy, and a huge blow to the Packers organization, because this does not look good. This does not look good. Now, granted, they held off on having comments until everything plays out, which I think is the right move.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you don't want to, you know, defend the guy and then just turn around and say, well, when you've got these new charges against you, it's a tough situation.
It's a slippery slope.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. So we'll touch a little bit more base onto this, but in the second part of the show, we're also going to talk about potential running back replacements for Jacobs, because it sounds like that he's going to be gone at least 6 games for Green Bay. If not, he is probably played his last game as a Packer. Keith, my question for you is, if you're Green Bay and you're in this situation here, what do you do?
So I'll guarantee that they're having two contingency plans.
Mm-hmm.
One, with Jacobs being gone. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for a number one running back, probably, you know, through free agency, through trade, through something. Get something kind of in place. And then two, they're probably planning another scenario. If he does come back, let's say there's a 6-game suspension, will our backups, will they get us through the 6 games, or do we go out and find maybe an older veteran that can easily run 6 games and then kind of migrate into that backup role? I don't know. I guarantee they're super busy over at the front office of the Packers right now.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're looking at the short list for free agent candidates or possible trade candidates. We were kind of talking off air about that. So currently they've got Chris Brooks, and, you know, there's always been high hopes for Marshawn Lloyd. And then they've got a fourth-round pick out of 2022, Pierre Strong. And then Damian Martinez, a seventh-rounder in 2025. But, yeah, not like a lot of depth compared to a lot of other NFL teams. So they're going to have to go out and get some help.
So these are Green Bay's first 6 games on the 2026 schedule. And we say 6 because that's like the personal conduct policy by the NFL. That's what we're going on. At Minnesota, never a cakewalk when you go to Minnesota.
No.
Never a cakewalk.
Need the running game there.
Yep. At Jets, probably going to win that game, even though I think the Jets will be better this year. They've got Atlanta at home. A lot of questions about them. They go to Tampa Bay, which weird things always happen for Green Bay when they go down to Florida. They got the Bears at home, which is going to be an absolutely epic game. And then Game 6 is against Dallas. So if Jacobs is still in Green Bay, he would return against Detroit on October 25th. That would be week 7. So, again, looking at this, you know, the one thing that you hope is that these allegations are false, but right now it does not look good, unfortunately. We're going to wait for the legal process to play out. Coming up in the second part of the show, we'll talk about who we think could be the best potential replacements for Jacobs in the backfield. But we're going to go ahead and move into something positive. Chuck Freeman from the Locked On Brewers podcast is going to join us. Brewers swept the Cardinals earlier today. We're going to get his thoughts on what he thinks has led to the Brewers' turnaround. That's coming up here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The 2026 golfing season is underway, and the Edgewater Country Club is in great shape. Brad and Marion Edgewater invite you to enjoy the spring golfing season. Edgewater Country Club offers 9 attractive and challenging holes on the shores of beautiful Lake Alice and Tomahawk. Public tee times are available by calling Edgewater at 453-3320. Test your skills on the 9-hole course and follow your round with a delicious entree from their menu. Edgewater Country Club and 10369 Echo Valley Road. Call 453-3320 for your tee time today.
If boats, stocks, and flip-flops are on your list this summer, stop out at Hobbs Service Center to order your Lakeview Dock or Lakeshore boat lifts. Protecting your boat from the elements helps you have a full summer of fun in the sun. Hobbs Service Center, 360-5086, on County Road L in Tomahawk and online at HobbsService.com. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill is now featuring some great seasonal specials. Try their cheeseburger pizza with their house sauce blend, topped with hamburger, onions, bacon, and pickles. How about the barbecue brisket sandwich? Smoked beef, cheddar cheese, and sautéed onions served on a ciabatta. Billy Bob's also has their Billy Bob's beef sandwich, the third shift burger, and on the lighter side, the chicken Caesar wrap. It's the seasonal specials now available at Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L in the Lake Nokomis area. Open daily at 11, it's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your investment strategy reflect what you want or just what the market's doing? This is Sarah Olson with Wealth Strategy Group. Our pro strategy builds portfolios around your personal risk profile, income needs, and future plans. With our pro strategy, your investments are guided by data-driven signals that help manage risk and capture opportunity, so you can stay focused on your goals, not headlines. Invest, plan, prosper with Pro by Wealth Strategy Group. Let's align your investments at WSGinvest.com or by calling us at 453-0722 to discuss how we can help you build your portfolio.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, John Long, and Keith Hansey back here with you. From our WJJQ studios in Tomahawk, it is 5:50, and it is now time to chat some Brewers. And joining me right back on the line from the Locked On Brewers podcast and the sports director in Fond du Lac for KFIZ, please welcome Chuck Freeman. Chuck, thank you for joining me.
Alex, you're so much better than Hunter. I don't care what he says about you. You are way, way better than him. And since you've been there, the voice of the Hatchets, playoff bound. I don't know if they even won a game under Hunter.
I like it.
Chuck, that is spot on.
I know. It's surprising, isn't it? So, Chuck.
He's a broadcaster, and look at good things happen.
There you go. Chuck, let's go ahead and talk about these Brewers. You and I chatted with them very briefly last month. They were on a 6-game losing streak, struggling a little bit after a hot start. Now they've turned it around. They are 32-20 after sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals earlier today. What do you think has led to this turnaround so far?
Well, it's just amazing. They started this whole winning 15 of 19 in St. Louis a few weeks ago. And, I say this in my podcast. I don't know how they're doing it, honestly, because they invent ways to win. You know how some teams invent ways to lose, which, kind of is like most of our sports teams here in the state of Wisconsin. At the end of the day, they invent ways to lose. But the Brewers during the regular season, my goodness, like today, they take advantage of the Cardinals not being able to field a bunt, Mason Winn, the Cardinals shortstop, makes an error. The Brewers have been getting amazing pitching. But, like today, they're down 1-0. Dustin May was just incredible on the hill for the Cardinals. Takes a no-hitter into the eighth inning, and Milwaukee finds a way to win that game. But they just do. Now the question is, guys, the million-dollar question is, did they find a way to do this, have this sort of magic in the postseason? They haven't been able to figure that out in October yet.
You know, Chuck, you've been, we talked about this particular squad. It seems like that this team's finally healthy as well because they brought back Andrew Vaughn. Christian Yelich looks like he's healthy. Jackson Chirio's finally great. How big of contributors have they have been so far throughout the course of the season in your estimation?
Well, here's what the Brewers lack. They lack, and we love Chirio, and he's going to be a future star, but he's not there yet. And Yelich had the big hit today. They lack that thumper that money cannot buy for the Milwaukee Brewers. They miss that guy in the middle of that lineup. When you're running Gary Sanchez in the cleanup spot, and some of these guys, they're last in the league in home runs, but like they hit two last night. I think this is what they're really missing, and I feel like at the trading deadline, that's what they I thought they'd get something at the trading deadline last year. And they didn't. But I feel like that's what they need to do. I feel like the trading deadline, as we move toward that next month, well, in July, actually, I feel like that's what they're going to do. They need that big bet, because what ultimately dooms these guys in the postseason every year? Well, it's the lack of offense. And, you know, they're getting by. They're leaning heavily on their pitching staff right now. But, you know, they need all these guys to – I just don't know if it's there with that lineup to – maybe to win the division, but we want to take it an extra step further. We want to win, world championships. They haven't been to World Series since I was in high school.
I'm talking here with Chuck Freeman, Locked On Brewers podcast host, sports director for KFIZ and Fond du Lac on Sports Q on WJJQ. John Long and Keith Hansey are also with us. Gentlemen, do you have any questions for Chuck?
Well, Chuck, just to your point, I mean, I think the Brewers are actually, right now, they're one of the top offenses of baseball. And that's with one of the fewest home runs as a team. So, kind of, Chuck, to your point, I mean, who is that guy you think that they could go get potentially in order to put some home runs on the board and drive more runs in?
God, that's just like the million-dollar question. It's just like who, none of the – right now everybody thinks they're still in it. So right. None of the names have really been disseminated out there. Everybody thinks they're still in it. But they need that guy. It's funny because McCutchen got released by Texas today, who was here a few years ago.
Hmm.
And I saw a tweet by Bob Nightingale, who's works for the USA Today. He kind of said something about the Brewers on there. And it's like, oh, this would be a Brewer move. Well, where's McCutchen going to play? I mean, the Brewers need to do better than McCutchen had his day. It's not his time anymore. The Brewers need to do better than that. They need to get a guy who's legitimate. And they have some ammunition in their farm system. They're loaded at middle infield.
Yes, they are.
If you want to go out there and get yourself a big bat, I mean, you got Pratt, you're not going to trade him a day, but you got all sorts of guys who are in the middle infield there. I feel like they're going to move one of them, not name Madej, the number one prospect in baseball. But that's what I feel like is going to happen. I feel like one of their top 100 prospects is going to get moved when the deadline does hit. But as of right now, I don't think there's a name out there you could really, nobody's really talking trade right now. It was funny. A year ago this time, though, all the baseball experts were saying, well, the Brewers should trade, Freddie Peralta. He's one of their guys that they could trade. I'm like, the Brewers were in the wild card chase. Why the heck would you trade Freddie Peralta? None of these national writers ever gave Milwaukee a chance last year. And here they are. They end up having the best record in baseball. So, these national guys just love taking from our small markets and getting them the big markets. So I just can't stand it. So, time will tell on that. But in the meantime, the Brewers, I look at their lineup, when you watch them and you look at another lineup of who they play, you say, man, how is this team better than that lineup? The old layup line. When you go to a basketball game, you see one team on one end of the court and you see another team on that end of the court. And you say, how is that team ever going to beat that team? Before you know it, the team over here is up 20 points because they can do all the right things. They can set good screens and run and jump and all that. That's what this team does. They make up for talent by doing a lot of things correctly. They have a very high baseball IQ on this team.
Keith, you have any questions for Chuck?
Yeah. In the beginning of the year, after all those trades, I looked at the Brewers with the weakest spot on the left side of the infield. How do you think Hamilton and them are performing?
Just terrible. It's been awful. What they do, Reneifo over at third, it's one thing if he was playing, and he's coming around a little bit, but, you know, at third and short, like I said before, guys, we're trying to win a pennant here.
Yep, and there's a lot of errors.
And if you have a guy who's playing third baseman and 220 for you, he darn well better have 20 home runs at this point.
Yeah.
But they don't have that guy. No. And their left side of the – you know, if you look at – you got two guys on the left side. And then you got Ortiz.
Yeah.
Shortstop. And he came as a defensive replacement last night. He's not been very good except for what he does defensively. Frelick, he is not. He's incrementally turning it around now. But they have a lot of – those are three guys right there. Who, you're still winning games despite three positions really not carrying any much of a load. You know, you always hear that thing about you want to be strong at the corners. Well, the right field spot, defensively, yes, and the manager loves him, but, he can't hit a home run, really. And, over at third base, Reneifo, you were hoping a little bit of a pop out of him, nothing out of him. Shortstop, you get nothing. Again, how are they winning these games? I'm speaking in negative terms, but they're still the best team in the National League Central, one of the top records in baseball.
Yeah, it's funny when you think about it. Talking with Chuck Freeman, Locked On Brewers podcast, and sports director for KFIZ and Fond du Lac here on Sports Q on WJJQ. Chuck, final question for you. Even though the Brewers pitching has been strong, they do still have a lot of injuries. Guys that are still projected to be back, Quinton Priester, Jarred Koenig, mm-hmm. Brandon Woodruff, Rob Zdrzny. Mm-hmm. What's the latest you're hearing on those guys?
Well, Priester, they expect him back early June, but we've been talking about this guy coming back for week after week now. So I'll see it when I believe it. What's amazing about this, Alex, is the Brewers, going into the season, they expected Woodruff to be at the top of the rotation, and number two guy was going to be Priester, and Mizorowski was going to be in the third spot. A year ago this time, Mizorowski wasn't here. Kyle Harrison was in the Red Sox organization, and those are your two top pitchers in that rotation. They have just been spectacular at leading the way. Woodruff, he's going to throw next week in batting practice. There was some thought he was going to pitch today in the actual game. I don't think Woodruff wants to go down to AAA. I think he's tired of that. So he's going to throw some BP today, next week. Hopefully soon, but, these guys, Priester keeps on having setbacks. But the great news is, despite not having those two guys you were projecting to have at the top of the rotation, you still have been winning games with these other guys, the Logan Hendersons, who unfortunately is on the injured list, and everybody.
St. Louis Cardinals today, they will begin a three-game set with the Houston Astros on Friday. First pitch will be at 7:10. Locked On Brewers podcast host Chuck Freeman joining us here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Chuck, thank you for joining us. We'll see you during football season. How does that sound?
Oh, so we're not talking during until football season? Is that what you're saying? I was that bad on the show today?
No, man. No. The Sports Q likes to take a little break during the summer. That's all. It's nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Little fish. Let me ask you. Up there, you guys got great fishing. Yeah. I told Alex I love this land. I love where you guys are. I kicked you up there for a hockey tournament a couple of years ago in the winter, in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
And even in the middle of winter, I thought, man, this is awesome up here. Where would I go golfing? You have a place. If I'm going to come up to the north,
we just happen to have some really nice golf houses.
Yeah, exactly.
You're speaking my language, Jack.
Yes.
You guys are golf. Are you guys golfers?
Well, Keith and John are.
Yeah,
Keith and
John. I go out there. Chuck, I go out there.
These young guys, Alex, they don't golf anymore. What's the deal with this?
Okay, so
Alex,
so here's
too busy.
Yes, I am too busy. I've got a 7-month-old at home now. The other thing with me, Chuck.
All the more reason to get on the golf course.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing though, Chuck. I don't have the patience. I just don't have the patience to be on the golf course. That's my problem.
Yeah, it's one of those sports that those guys could tell you that it's, you got to dedicate some. I'm at the golf course right now.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to go on the driving range and get some, get some strokes in here.
Yeah.
You're right about that. But, I love, and I've told this to Alex, I love it up there. And I know that golf, we always talk about fishing in the northern part of the state, but golf is actually coming on strong. My friend Gary D'Amato, one of the top golf writers, always tells me, hey, man, you ought to go up north, but what would you guys recommend? Where's your place? Where do you guys go?
Well, Chuck, I'll tell you what. We'll connect off air here, but we'll set it up. You come up, we'll golf 3-4 courses. There's some beautiful courses up here.
Yeah, there is.
Hey, hey, I don't have no seven-month-old baby at home, and if there's an excuse.
All right. That's it. We're going to do it, Chuck.
You're not going to get any excuses of me.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
That's great. Chuck Freeman, it is great to have you on here, man. Thank you very much for joining us. I had a lot of fun. I'm sure that we'll reconnect again.
You bet, my friend. And if I don't talk to you guys, have a great summer.
All right. Yeah, you too, absolutely. Chuck. Thanks, Chuck. All right. Bye-bye. Boy, that is great. Chuck Freeman, host of the Locked On Brewers podcast on the Sports Q on WJJQ. He is also the radio director for KFIZ out in Fond du Lac. So if you don't know KFIZ in Fond du Lac, he is also the Football Friday Night Show host that I am a weekly guest on. So, John, after you and I do the games, I am on the phone with him, just giving him the rundown of how Tomahawk football was in recent years, and hopefully they can have a big season coming up next year, too.
He might be onto something. When Hunter was here, and then Alex took over. Yeah, I think he might be onto something.
It seems like that. Okay, I'm going to go in and say this right off the bat, because before I came up here, everywhere I went, teams lost. That's the funny thing. Everywhere I went, teams would just lose and lose bad.
Yeah.
Not, so you got it all out of your system before
I
you
must,
came up
I
here.
Must have.
Turned it
I,
around.
I must have. Yes, yes. Alex Cook turned around Tomahawk. There you go. Go ahead and trademark that. It's now 6:03 here at our WJJQ studios in Tomahawk here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. 79 degrees is our temperature. We'll have a quick break and take a look at your weather forecast from Tony Schumacher. That's coming up after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Shurl Tire and Auto Service in Tomahawk is proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets. We're your go-to choice for top-quality automotive service and the best prices on Goodyear tires. We're the home of free tire repair. Bring in your auto or light truck flat tire, and we'll fix it at no charge. You can count on Shurl Tire and Auto Service to keep you rolling on and off the field. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community moving forward and on the road to victory. Visit us at shurltire.com.
Get your car done right.
This is Keith Hansey, broker associate with Northwoods Community Realty. Northwoods Community Realty is a company founded on community-focused values and premier real estate services to buyers and sellers in the entire Northwoods area. Whether you're looking for lake homes or city homes for sale, selling your property, or just want to know what your property is worth, give me a call at 966-1032. I have a deep knowledge of the area and understand our local real estate market. Give me a call, Keith Hansey, for all your real estate needs and questions at 966-1032 with Northwoods Community Realty.
The forecast for the Northwoods for tonight, maybe a stray shower well south of Tomahawk early, otherwise turning mostly clear, low at 45. Mostly sunny tomorrow, should be pretty nice, a little bit cooler, high in the low 70s, wind from the east-southeast at 5 to 10. Friday, sunny to partly cloudy, low in the mid-40s, high near 81. Slight chance of a shower in the late evening. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 74. Another small chance of an evening shower. Sunday, partly sunny, high 74. Maybe a shower at night. Sunshine Monday, high 76. This is meteorologist Tony Schumacher for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ. Your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, John Long, Keith Hansey back here with you. It's 6:05 here at our WJJQ studios as we continue Sports Q action. So, gentlemen, John, it has been a while since you have been here, which means it's been a while since you've done some Mascot Madness. And I think that it's time to revisit it. So, Keith, do you remember what Mascot Madness was last week with Matt?
It was the softball regional teams, correct?
Yes, softball sectional teams. In Tomahawk softball sectional, which included the sectional final location, which is in Cumberland this year. So this week, we are going to be doing baseball sectional locations.
Oh.
Baseball sectional locations. This is going to be across all four divisions. I've got three in Division One, two in Division Two, two in Division Three, and three in Division Four. So that's what we're going to be dealing with here today. And they're all over the state. It's not limited to like one particular area as well.
Then it's easy.
Then it's easy. There are some southern schools that I think John will be familiar with because he is from Northern Illinois, if I recall correctly. And you're pretty familiar with New Glarus from what I recall as well.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know.
No idea what you're talking about, huh? All right, gentlemen, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
It is now time for Mascot Madness.
Here we go. All right, first school. Going to go 30 minutes north of my hometown for this one.
Okay.
Janesville Craig. Cougars, Commanders, Cowboys, or Crabs?
I don't think it's the Crabs.
Can we eliminate the Crabs?
Yeah. Yes, you can. Yeah. And the
Cowboys?
Cowboys, Commanders, and Cougars are the other three.
Got a gut feeling on this one?
No.
Can we do a 50-50?
Sure. Cougars and Commanders.
But you could have put Crabs in there.
Yeah. Alex, help you there.
You got to help us out.
Yeah.
Cougars or Commanders? I think Cougars is more of a high school mascot than Commanders.
Going to go Cougars?
The Cougars.
The Cougars? Well, the Cougars is right.
All right.
There you go.
Plus, I was a Nokomis Cougar as a little leader.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yep. We never played Janesville, though.
Yeah, colors are blue and white, just so you know. Next one. Going to go over to the western side of the state for this one.
Okay.
Chippewa Falls. This was also the site of the football state semifinal game this past fall between Stratford and Maple Northwestern.
Okay.
Blue Jays, Orioles, Cardinals, or Warblers?
The Warblers.
It's a type of bird.
It is a type of bird, yes.
Is that Orioles?
Say them again.
Blue Jays, Orioles, Cardinals, or Warblers? The colors will help if you want those.
Yes.
Red and white.
Oh.
I was thinking it was the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah.
Cardinals is correct. There you guys go.
Yeah.
Actually, I coached two girls from Chippewa Falls on my AAU team.
Oh, really? There you go.
I was thinking there is an orange and black team over there. Maybe I was thinking of somebody.
Stanley Boyd, maybe?
Yeah.
Stanley Boyd, you were probably thinking of. Yeah. There's a few
I just
got to
keep going west on 29.
Yeah.
Or you could go to Prescott like Matt and I did last night.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Great, isn't it? All right. Final Division I school. Nicolet. They're located just outside of Milwaukee.
Yep.
Crusaders, Trojans, Spartans, or Knights?
Colors are blue and white, right?
Yes, they are, Keith. Does that help you at all?
No.
Do we get some kind of point for that?
Yeah, that is actually a half point.
Yeah, it is.
Because when Zach was swimming in the state swim tournaments every year, Nicolet was always there.
Oh, okay,
but
sure.
All they had was an N on their swim caps.
Oh.
So that does not help us.
Well,
let's go 50-50.
Okay. Trojans and Knights. Again, it's not necessarily alliteration here with this one.
Right.
Well, then it feels like the Trojans.
Are you sure about
no,
that?
No, but Knights.
It could be because it starts with a... Yeah.
It's a K.
Do you want to go with the Knights?
I feel like that does make sense.
Yeah.
Nicolet Knights.
It's Nicolet Knights.
Heath, you sound so confident.
I am.
How confident are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's the Knights.
It's the Knights. How confident are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm a solid 8.
Take and run with it. You got it. Tonight.
Solid 8.
There you go. All right. Now we're going to move to the Division 2 options here on this one.
Okay. All right.
First one. Portage. John played against him in basketball this past winter.
Correct.
Indians, Warriors, Chiefs, or Chieftains?
Now, we talked about this last week. You can't do Chiefs and Chieftains.
It's not right.
That's not.
Okay. I'm trying to remember their colors. Were they red and white?
Actually, they were orange and black.
Orange and black.
Orioles.
Yeah. Oh, the Orioles.
They don't. Really?
Yeah, orange and black. Okay. Yeah.
Really?
We beat them in the title game.
All right.
Idiot. Yeah.
For the championship.
Yeah. Portage. They were Division II. They were Division II school in girls basketball, I recall correctly, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Would you like me to eliminate two for you?
Yeah, you might as well.
Indians and Warriors.
Oh, man. Gosh.
Portage Warriors. Portage Indians. Portage Warriors just sounds better, doesn't it? But
you tell me.
I'm trying to remember
Yep.
They both sound right, unfortunately. And my first gut was Indians, but then I'm like, I don't know. Can you even say Indians anymore?
Yeah, Mosin, he does.
I mean, there are a couple of schools, but I will say that there's Indian moniker to it has gone incredibly down over the last, I would say, decade or so, give or take.
I think it is the Warriors.
You're going to go Warriors?
Yeah.
Okay. Feel the power of a warrior. You got it.
Yeah.
4 for 4. Going to keep on rolling. Keep on rolling, all right? Chilton. Yes, Chilton. Tigers, Wildcats, Cougars, or Panthers?
Chilton Tigers jumps out to me.
Kind of actually did to me as well.
Is that what you're leaning towards?
What are the colors, Alex?
Same as Tomahawks, blue and gold.
Now this doesn't seem like a tiger, does it?
Let's go.
I wouldn't stray away from your gut if I were you.
Okay.
I will say that. I wouldn't stray away from your gut here.
I mean,
don't do that.
I think, yeah.
Think it feels right?
It does.
We both felt like it was right.
Yeah, kind of rings a bell. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we're going with Tigers, right?
Yep. We saved a 50-50, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, keep it in your back pocket. I got news for you. You're right. There you go. Chilton Tigers.
Good. Yep.
That was also the side of the softball sectional final when Tomahawk made it to state back in 2018, actually.
Okay.
Matt and I talked about that on the air last night. Now we're going to move on to the Division III. Now, one of these is going to be the sectional where Tomahawk is in. Just keep your eyes peeled, okay?
All right, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. But first, we're going to go to Horicon.
The marshes.
Close. Mm-hmm. Close. You're very
marshmallows.
Very... No.
I'm getting colder.
All right.
Lumberjacks, marshmen, raccoons, or goslings?
Feel pretty good about marshmen.
Marshmen?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I'm very, very glad that Keith jumped the gun on that one because he definitely got it right. He wasted no time on that one. All right. Now, we are going to go to the Tomahawk sectional round, okay?
Okay.
This is where Tomahawk, if they end up making a miracle run, would play in the sectional round.
Okay.
Crivets. John, I know you coached against him in football a couple of times. Spartans, Badgers, Wolverines, or Gophers?
Wolverines.
Wolverines?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
The Crivets Wolverines. Keep it on rolling. You guys are 7 for 7. Look at you go.
Tim and I went over there and did a football game there.
I believe I did a football game with Mr. Scott Nye there, actually, a couple of years ago. Yes, that was my first year up here. Back when Tomahawk went that far for a conference football game.
Yep.
All right. Now we're going to go to the Division IV level, okay?
Okay.
All three of these are very, very small schools. I'm talking 200 or less.
Okay.
River Ridge.
All right. That's a made-up school. Go to the next one.
No, it's not. River Ridge. Clippers. Mavericks. Supersonics. Or Timberwolves.
Those are quite the options.
All NBA team names. That's why I went with it.
Where is this school located?
River Ridge. This is in the southwestern part of the state. Let me get an exact location here
River
really
Ridge.
Quick. Yep. River Ridge High School.
So that... The only reason I asked, if it was like east on the big lake, you know, Clippers.
So River Ridge is located. It is 4 hours and 12 minutes southwest of here. It's right by the Wisconsin-Iowa border in a small town called Patch Grove, which is west of Fenimore and a little south of Boscobel.
Okay. All right,
so
hit those options again.
Yeah. Clippers, Mavericks, Supersonics, and Timberwolves.
Man, how about a 50-50?
Okay. Yeah. This is a tougher one. Mavericks and Timberwolves.
I believe it's the Timberwolves.
Okay.
You think so?
Yeah.
How confident are you?
Very.
Scale of 1 to 10.
Probably 9.37.
I'm just going to give it to you for the sheer accuracy on that one. There you go.
Well, you really dialed in those odds.
Yeah.
We had that one before.
Got it. Yep. River Ridge has 167 kids. All right?
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay. This next one is actually located in the northern part of the state. All right?
Okay.
Brucey, I'm home. Just west of Ladysmith.
Yep.
All right.
The Bruce.
The Bruce Red Men, Red Birds, Red Raiders, or Red Knights?
It's Red something.
That narrows it down.
I know that.
100% confident.
Yeah.
In that. Yeah.
And don't ask for the colors because it's not going to help.
No.
Purple and green.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Last colors were purple and silver.
All right. Probably 50-50 this one right away.
Yeah, I have a guess, but let's hear the 50-50.
All right, what's your guess first?
No. That's how this works. Okay.
Red Raiders and Red Knights.
I felt like it was the Red Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yep.
You want to go with Red Raiders?
Yeah.
Feels right.
Yeah, it does.
Feels right, huh?
All
right.
Yep, right on Highway 8 there.
You know, I could have called them the Springsteens. I feel like that would have been a little more appropriate. But it happens to be the Bruce Red Raider.
There we go.
You got it. You guys are 9-for-9 and a chance for a perfect run.
Ooh.
Boy, John, first time back at Mascot Madness and you get a perfect run? Boy, let's make this happen. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
I remember like 3 months ago when you're here last, we went 10-for-10.
Yeah.
3 months ago. I'm not sure it's that big, I guess. But again, contract negotiation.
Yeah, I know. We have our best guys on it, I promise. All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
Last one. Pecatonica.
Okay. South of Madison.
Yep. Vikings, Packers, Bears, or Lions? Pecatonica.
Alliteration says Packers.
Give me a 50-50.
Okay. Vikings and Lions.
That's why we didn't go with the Packers.
I feel Vikings. I feel like it's the Vikings.
You want to know what the funniest part is? The colors for Pecatonica are green and gold.
They are,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think they're the Vikings.
You think so?
I'm not 1,000% sure. I'm not like Keith Hansey, 93.47.
Right. Yeah.
I was going to say, perfect run. Keith, no looking it up.
No, I'm not. I'm not looking it up.
Just immediately like go for the phone. Finally, I have the key.
No.
How are you feeling?
It was Vikings and...
Lions. Vikings and Lions.
Lions? No, I think Vikings.
Are we going to go Viking?
Yeah. John?
Man, Alex?
They have co-opted with a couple of schools before.
Yeah. Now there's doubt creeping in my mind.
Well, Alex tries to do that to us.
I know.
He's not on purpose.
No, I think... Yeah, it's got to be Vikings.
Are we going to do Vikings?
Yeah.
Vikings. It's Vikings.
It is Vikings, Alex.
Pecatonica, huh?
Yep.
Oh, man. Guys. I believe, Keith, you and Matt went 8-for-10 last week, correct?
No, I'm not a big numbers guy, but yeah, something like that.
This week, you're 10-for-10. You got the Pecatonica Vikings.
He planted that seed of doubt, but we said no. No, sir.
I know. Talking us into the Lions.
I did not. No, I. All I'm doing is just giving you options. That's all I'm doing.
Well, Tyler's not here to drag us down.
So that's right. That is a fact.
Be careful, he might be listening to this, guys.
Well, trust me, it would be more harsh if he were sitting here.
You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We are going to take one more break. We're going to preview the baseball playoff matchup coming up tomorrow between Tomahawk and Crandon here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Looking for trusted legal help close to home? Weld Riley Attorneys have been serving individuals and businesses for nearly 50 years. With over 30 attorneys in 5 locations, they are proud to provide legal services from their office right here in Tomahawk at 199 Oneida Drive. Whether it's personal legal matters or business and corporation needs, or simply needing legal advice, you can count on Weld Riley for dedicated, responsive service. For experience you'd expect from the city, they provide the same service right here at home. Call 715-224-3411 to schedule your appointment. Proud to be a part of the Tomahawk community.
Are you looking to sell your home?
Or maybe you are looking for the home of your dreams. We are experienced real estate agents and would be happy to help you buy or sell your home.
Or answer any of your real estate related questions. I'm Matt Tyler. Please give me a call at 715-490-1820.
And I'm John Long. You can reach me at 715-966-2251.
Wild Rivers Group Real Estate of Tomahawk, serving the entire Northwoods area. Look us up on the web at wildriversgroup.com.
Or stop in and see us at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Wild Rivers Group Real Estate, expert caring guidance every step you take.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, John Long, Keith Hansey back here with you from our Tomahawk studios. And John Long was just mouthing his own ad. Nerd.
Yeah. Nerd alert.
Nerd alert.
We tried to mute that here at the station, but I can't find that.
I have the ability to mute it. Let it play out.
I know.
Well, you can't mute it. It's in my contract.
Yeah. Yours.
You know how long that contract goes?
6.5 hours later.
Yeah. That's why we played my ad first.
Yeah. Well, guys, guess what? We got a playoff baseball game coming up in Tomahawk tomorrow. Let's preview it, shall we?
We shall.
So the gentleman that has been here on the Sports Q the most, I feel like, this year, Mr. Keith Hansey. He has done baseball with us throughout the course of the season. Did a big, exciting win over Northland Pines last week to end the Great Northern Conference regular season. Now, coming up tomorrow, Tomahawk begins postseason play in the WIAA Division III Regional Quarterfinal. They've got number 9 seed Crandon coming into town. It is a rematch of a game previously. The two teams did play back on May 15th, so almost 2 weeks ago. Keith, what's your take on this Hatchet baseball squad this year from what you've seen?
I think we saw that push towards the end of the season where they're dialed in. I think the lineup's pretty much set. We've got a good rotation of pitchers, but they're overall playing really good baseball right now.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for tomorrow because I believe we were talking the first time we played, Jonah was pitching.
Yes. And then Logan Norman came in and pitched 2 2/3 shutout innings in that game.
So I'm curious to see what Coach Olson's going to do tomorrow, if he's going to start Cash or if he's going to save him. Because, you know, now with games coming up, that pitch count is huge.
It's
not like softball where you can just pitch as much as you want. You know, these guys, they got to look at, you know, if they get to 50 pitches, now we got to rest them. So it'll be a little bit of a chess match, but obviously, you got to get that win.
So here's the other thing to point out in case you're curious about the pitch count at home. So if you pitch from, I think it's 0 to 25 pitches, you get 0 days off. 25 to, I think it's 50, you get one. 50 to 75 is two. And then anything past 75, you get 3 days off. So again, they could theoretically pitch Cash Olson tomorrow, have him try and go and do the best that he can, and then get him ready for, if they win, the regional semifinal, which would be on Tuesday, which if Tomahawk pulls it off, we'll be heading down to Stratford on Tuesday. Stratford, by the way, is the number 1 seed. They have only lost 1 game all season long.
Correct. But the Hatchets only lost by 2 runs.
That's very true.
They played Stratford very, very well.
And here's the other thing as well. So the Hatchets this year played the top 3 seeds in the sectional. They played Stratford, Whitburn, and Marathon. They lost to Marathon by 3. That was in the season opener. That was a toss-up game. Never knew what was going to go. Against Whitburn, they were down. They lost 5-3. They were up 3-0 heading into the fifth. And Nick Arndt pitched a very good game. Mm-hmm. Just gave up a grand slam to Whitburn in that fifth inning. That was at Athletic Park in Wausau. And again, as you mentioned, Keith, Tomahawk hung tight with Stratford. Yeah. They lost 2-0. They were able to get people on base. They just couldn't get runs across. Mm-hmm. That really was the difference in that game. And honestly, it was a 1-0 game going into the seventh. Yeah. Like that's all you can ask for.
Very tight.
Yep. John?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things you got to look and like you see the success that Jonah had against him a couple weeks ago. So do you ride that and the fact that for whatever reason, maybe Crandon didn't see the ball coming off his hand super well or whatever, or, you know, do you just go out there, put your ace out there and mm-hmm. try and make a statement there? But you do got to think, you know, you have to get this win, obviously, yeah. but then you do got to think down the road.
Right.
I'm sure Coach Olson is contemplating all those things. But I think what's kind of cool about this Hatchet squad is, you know, they've got a good rotation going, but also that clutch hit could come from a bunch of different
guys. Oh, yeah, it very well could. There's been a bunch of different people that's come away with clutch hits this season.
Yes, and, you know, we got Logan Norman. I thought the second half of the season he pitched incredible.
He did. He did. So, again, I'm loading up
on... well. So, I mean, we actually have some pitching depth,
yep.
which we probably haven't had as much over the last few years. But the clutch hits, you know, whether it's Wally or Hunter or Brody and Jonah... In that Pines game, I mean, they're coming from all over.
Right.
So the only game that Stratford lost in the regular season was to Marathon. It was a conference game. Now, the final score of the game was 11-0, but Stratford trotted out a JV pitcher in that game. And Marathon threw their ace. So that's okay. The reason why they ended up losing. Marathon put up 9 runs in the second inning of that game. So that pretty much was the difference in that particular game. But since then, Stratford has... gone up against teams like Edgar. They swept Auburndale, blew them out of the water. Again, they defeated Leona Wabino. They defeated Whitburn 3-1. They do have one final regular season game also coming up that they scheduled. It's in Pittsville. That'll be tomorrow at 4:45. So, Keith, looking at this matchup here, how can Tomahawk come away with victory over Crandon and move on to the next round?
Got to start with the bats,
mm-hmm.
get the hits, and keep those errors, especially the throwing errors, to a minimum. When we see them and they play and they have one or two errors, they're in good shape. When we see 4, 5, 6 errors, they happen at the wrong time, and teams are taking advantage of it. So I think if we just eliminate the errors and get those bats alive right away, then Tomahawk and they seem to get that confidence and just keep rolling.
So again, in case you guys are wondering, Tomahawk did win 4 of their final 5 games, 5 of their final 6 actually, because the game last night against Assumption, that actually counted as a win on the schedule, so they did add that. The final score of that game was 3-2. But again, as you mentioned, Keith, looking at this Hatchet squad, they've got a legitimate chance to win this game. Again, it's a very similar matchup. It was an 8-9 seed last year between them and Chautauqua Weyerhaeuser. Before Tomahawk ultimately pulled away in walk-off fashion. We could see that again this year. But again, looking at their schedule, as we mentioned, they won 5 of their final 6 games, wins over Merrill, Crandon, Anago, Pines, and Assumption. Their lone loss again coming to Stratford. So Tomahawk, they've got a legitimate shot. If you would like to tune into the broadcast, Keith and I will be at Tyler Carl Memorial Field tomorrow. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show will begin at 4:35, first pitch at 5. On Sports Talk 810 AM, 97.7 FM, WJJQ. And again, quick note, all playoff games will be broadcast on the WJJQ mobile app. So be sure to tune in. Again, if Tomahawk wins, they will head to number 1 seed Stratford next Tuesday. That will be down in Stratford, and Keith and I will make the trip on down. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We are going to play some NFL trivia with the guys and talk some more Packers coming up on the other side of your weather forecast.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
We have tasted a bit of warmer weather this early spring, so now is the time to think about your air conditioning systems because hot weather is right around the corner. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of air conditioners and furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner and offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating and cooling needs to be ready for a hot summer. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Lows level off around 46. Tonight, under clear skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lots of sunshine outside again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 78. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 78 degrees.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Keith Hansey, John Long back here with you at our WJJQ studios here in Tomahawk. So I know that it's this might be bittersweet, but unfortunately the Sports Q will be coming to an end as the summer hits.
Wah, wah, wah.
So our final show of the year as of right now will be a week from today here at our WJJQ studios. So a week from today, it will be June 3rd.
Week from today, John.
Week from today. There you go. So I'm hoping that we could get all three of you guys in here. We could get John, Keith, and Matt in here, because I think all three of you are going to be featured on my top 10 broadcast calls of the school year as well this year.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there were a lot of good calls that we had, of course, throughout the course of the season. Most notably, of course, in football with John. Seemed like that everywhere we go, Tomahawk football was just finding new ways to win left and right.
It was an exciting season.
Yep, Keith has done pretty much every single sport that you could think of with
me.
He has done football. He's done volleyball. He's done basketball. He's done hockey. He's done baseball. I mean, where does it end? Where does it end, Keith?
Golf. We haven't called golf.
Oh, good point. Good point. I don't have the voice for
golf. Yeah, we don't.
No,
I don't
have the voice for golf.
They would be shushing you the whole time.
Yes, they would be. Well, now we're going to go ahead and get right back into the Josh Jacobs situation, but this time we're going to take a look at potential running back candidates to replace him in the coming days. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So again, Josh Jacobs, unsure of what's going to happen here. Again, he's facing domestic violence charges, could be facing a 6-game suspension by the NFL, depending on the absolute wonderful, depending on what happens in the court systems. Now, Green Bay's backfield is obviously barren. John outlined the four guys that are currently on Green Bay's roster. So Keith Hansey, I'm going to ask you, you're Green Bay.
Yep.
Don't know if Josh Jacobs is going to be available for 2026. Right. What do you do?
Two guys stick out on this free agent list to me.
Go.
Nick Chubb.
Okay.
Joe Mixon.
All right. Both of them did play with the Texans last year.
Yes. I think those two guys that you get either one. I know they've had some injury stuff, but, man, to have a veteran running back that has been there, done that, come to Green Bay, and it seems like all these guys that come to Green Bay just love it, thrive. I think that leadership from either one of those guys. I mean, there's a whole list of free agents, and that's just the unrestricted free agents. I'm not talking like a trade, whatnot, but I think Chubb or Mixon would do awesome as a Packer.
John.
I'm going to bring up another guy, Alvin Kamara from he spent 9 seasons with the Saints. I really like his versatility as a as an athlete. He catches it out of the backfield. He's got some speed left.
Yeah, he's shifty.
He's a guy that I think that could give us some good downs. When you're just talking about free agent guys, obviously, you start talking trade market. One guy that I would bring up would be Trey Benson from the Cardinals. You got our defensive coordinator coming over from the Cardinals, probably familiar with them. I know that the Cardinals are loaded at running back, so that might be a good option as well.
Could be. Again, you bring up Alvin Kamara. Kamara has not had a season in which he's had 1,000 yards rushing or receiving, but he's always been the kind of guy that will put up 1,000 yards from scrimmage. You always are going to count on 1,000 yards from scrimmage. He only did that once, which was in 2025 this past year, but of course the Saints, they did not have any semblance of offense whatsoever last year. The other guy I'm going to point to is somebody that has... pull up my list here. There we go. Somebody that is looking to revitalize his career and actually has 4,000-yard rushing seasons. I'm going to look at Najee Harris, who spent last year with the Chargers. Now, again, he was out due to, and I believe he tore his ACL or his Achilles. But before then, he had 4,000-yard rushing seasons in Pittsburgh. And they let him move, and they let him go to the Chargers.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, I think that Harris is definitely an option. Keith, I'm with you on Mixon. Chubb, I'm a little iffy about because Chubb has had a lot of injury concerns over the last couple of years. Mixon did miss all of last year, but that was the first time he really missed significant time due to injury. I think that if you're going to make a trade, Alvin Kamara's an option. Trey Benson's an option. I think Braylon Allen, former Wisconsin Badger from the New York Jets, could definitely be an option. And I think that Chuba Hubbard from the Carolina Panthers could be an option, depending on what the Panthers decide to do with their running back room.
Yeah, and just to go back to Chubb, you know, we have grass at Lambeau.
That is true. That is true. But again, he did sustain a significant knee injury on grass, though, in Pittsburgh, though, a couple of years ago. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, the Packers clearly got to have a plan in place.
Yes. Right?
Whoever it is, be nice to get him in earlier than later to get him familiar with everything. But yeah, I think all eyes will be on the Packers organization on how they handle the situation.
And all eyes are going to be on Green Bay as a whole because this upcoming season, 2026, we talked a little bit about this, I believe, when Tony Dirlith was here about a month ago. John, I want to get your thoughts on this. I thought that before this whole Jacob stuff ended, this was going to be a Super Bowl or bust year for Green Bay because at this point, think about it. You've got Micah Parsons coming back, Tucker Kraft coming back. You've got Matt LaFleur, who everyone thinks is one of the best play callers in the NFL. And you've got Jordan Love, who we've seen him, you know, inch up, start to take small steps. Now we need him to take that big step right over the top, the one that can vault him into a legit top 10, top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Your thoughts on how you could see the 2026 season pan out for Green Bay?
As a diehard Packers fan, I feel like there's two guys that this is a hot seat, and that is Love, and that's our head coach, LaFleur. I mean, it is 100% time to put up or get out because you can't just keep knocking on the door and not get in when you're loaded with the roster that we have. I mean, we're loaded on the offensive side for sure. Mm-hmm. Even with what's going on with Josh Jacobs, I mean, we still have a ton of weapons. You know, from wide receiver to tight end, and we're going to be fine in the running back room. I really feel like that. And then, you know, defensively, we've got some players. I think this is Super Bowl or bust, absolutely.
So again, looking at this particular roster, the other consideration that we didn't talk about is the fact that maybe they could put a wide receiver in at running back, like they did with Ty Montgomery once upon a time about a decade ago. Could be an option, although you would have to put Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, or Matt Golden in the backfield.
Well,
I don't think
any
of
about how much though that we actually put those guys in a running back type situation.
That's a good point.
We do a lot of jet sweeps. We do a lot of those wide receiver screens that really is just a catch and run as if you are a running back anyway. So that's not that big a stretch to just open up the playbook like that and put those guys in the they're athletes. And so you just put them in a situation where you put them in space, make them beat a guy to pick up yardage. So we just might see more of that.
So some other guys that are free agents as well that Green Bay could be going after. Not sure like what their situation is going to be with the running back room, but you've got Austin Eckler, who's had some injury concerns, broken down a little bit, but did help make the Chargers relevant, did help Washington get to the playoffs. Jeremy McNichols, another Commander running back, bounced around the league. Kareem Hunt, I know, Keith, you brought him up. If you're bringing in Hunt as a backup back to one of those guys, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
But he is a very good short yardage back. He knows how to find the right holes, especially down by the goal line. You look at a guy like Miles Sanders, who has been to the playoffs consistently with the Philadelphia Eagles, spent last year in Dallas. Alexander Mattison, former backup running back with the Minnesota Vikings, is an option. Khalil Herbert from the Jets, he spent some time in Chicago. That's an option. Raheem Mostert, who seems like is a free agent every single year, you know, in the offseason. He spent last year with the Raiders. Got another former Badger on the list. Dare Ogunbowale actually is a free agent as well. And then you've also got Chase Edmonds and Antonio Gibson. So you've got options at that running back spot. The question is, which direction is Green Bay going to go? That's really what it's going to boil down to. So a lot to figure out again. If we have any more information on the Jacob situation, we'll be sure to break it for you coming up next week in our final Sports Q show of the school year. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. We are going to end with some Packer trivia. That's going to be coming up after this.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Subway of Tomahawk is a proud sponsor of the Tomahawk Hatchets. Fuel up before or after the game with fresh subs, crisp salads, and of course, one of our famous cookies for your sweet tooth. Planning a team get-together or family celebration? Let Subway make it easy with catering. Just give us a call or use the Subway mobile app for easy ordering and we'll handle the rest. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community and local athletes fueled and ready for victory.
You'll always find one of the largest selections of quality used vehicles every day at the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk. And by the way, Randy at the Auto House would like to thank everyone who called and stopped by to make sure he wasn't asleep behind the desk and wish him the best of luck on his new adventure. Randy plans on continuing to do things the right way at the Auto House, and that means offering safe and reliable, previously loved vehicles at prices you're going to like. And as always, there's an ASC-certified shop to keep your vehicle running as it should. And if you need a rental vehicle, you can get one at the Auto House. The Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk and online at AutoHouseCars.net. That's AutoHouseCars.net. The Auto House, generationally doing business the right way for over 40 years.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Banking has become more complicated. Hidden fees, getting a real human being on the phone, relying solely on technology to get answers you need about your money. Crossbridge Community Bank is local on purpose. When you call, you get one of our amazing universal bankers located in Tomahawk or Merrill. Our fees? Straightforward. And if you have a concern, you can talk to someone directly to get answers. And if technology fails, we have real people who can help. Yes, there may be hundreds of online options for your finances, but wouldn't you rather know you can walk into one of our locations or call and immediately get the help you need? Crossbridge Community Bank, putting purpose first. FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Keith Hansey, John Long back here with you as we start to wrap things up here for today. Before we get into Packer trivia, we do have to do a couple of shout-outs really quickly here. Yeah. First off, we know that the postseason is here for spring sports. We want to shout-out the Tomahawk golf team, first of all. Making sectionals for the first time in over a decade as a team. It's not just one particular player going. Right. It's the whole team that made it. They finished third in their regional out at Turtleback Golf Course from Rice Lake. Their sectional meet will be at the Spooner Golf Club. That'll be a week from today at 9 o'clock.
And that's a young squad.
Yeah. You're getting everybody back next year. So you've got Jake Galber coming back, Oliver Childers coming back, Rocco Carew coming back, Jackson Kaiser coming back. That's really what you look forward to. And then, again, Tomahawk Track and Field will be competing in the sectional meet. That'll be in Rice Lake on Friday at 4. And, again, we want to shout out the 7 Hatchet athletes that are going to be competing against across 10 events, you know, including Elise Gibo, who took home regional title in 200-400-meter dash. We saw her at the home meet, Keith. Yeah. That girl can fly. Yeah. I am not kidding when I say that we could be looking at a potential state record being broken here in the next couple of years.
And how many times this year did she break her own record?
I lost count.
It was pretty much every week.
Just about every week.
Every week, yes.
Yeah. Honestly, so much fun to watch her compete.
Best of luck to them.
Along with those other athletes. But you're seeing some history being made here with Elise.
Yep. And then Ellie Mickey took home the regional title in the high jump as well. So we definitely want to shout them out. And again, the sectional track and field meet is on Friday in Rice Lake. The state meet is at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse a week from Friday. All right, gentlemen, are we ready for some Packers trivia?
I believe so.
All right, let's do this. So the Packers trivia we're going to get into revolves around one specific player here, okay?
Okay, all right.
So, Keith, do you remember the subject we talked about last week?
No.
About Aaron Rodgers?
Right. Oh, yes.
Yes, we did. Yes, yeah. Aaron Rodgers announcing his retirement.
Yep.
I want you guys to name me the top 10 players that have caught the most touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers in his career.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams is number one, Keith. Good job.
All right,
Good job.
John, you get the rest.
you get the rest. No, there's some pretty familiar names on here.
Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson is number two on the list. Yeah. Davante Adams with 79.
Nine.
And Jordy Nelson with 70. Keith, okay. Do you have a guess for me?
Yeah, I'm going to... I can picture him. I just can't think of his name. I'll come back to him. But is Tucker Kraft? No, Tucker Kraft's not
no,
on
No, Tucker Kraft's
list.
Not on here. No, no. No, there are two tight ends on this list.
Okay.
Two tight ends on this list. One running back as well.
Would that be the running back? I'm trying to think who... The running back that caught a lot of touchdowns.
Gotta be the current Viking.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. Jones.
Jones.
Gotta Aaron Jones. Gotta there, you Jones. Go. There you go.
Aaron Jones. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Come on.
There we go. Aaron Jones tied for ninth with 18 touchdown catches in her career. All right. Keith, what else you got? Trying to go to you here because you know this.
I'm drawing an absolute blank.
Well, wow. Try to draw a picture then.
Why can't I cannot think of his name.
What jersey number are you thinking of?
18.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. RC. Come on, you know this. Second round pick out of Kentucky.
Yeah, I do. I just can't think of his name.
Slot receiver by chance?
Yes. Corn on the...
Randall Cobb.
There you go.
The only thing stuck in my head was Donald Driver.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
It's funny you mentioned Donald Driver.
I was going to hear Donald Driver.
Because he actually is on the list as well with 23. So Randall Cobb, 50 touchdown catches from Aaron
Randall Cobb was who I was thinking of.
Yep. So you got half of them. You got 1, 2, 3, 7, and 10.
Okay.
The next... you still have the two tight ends... You've got three receivers. One of them played for him both in Green Bay and with the Jets.
Okay.
All right. Just like Davante Adams did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'll draw a blank. What's his
name? Is he 17?
Not 17. No, Davante Adams was 17.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It was the first guy to go to the Jets.
Yep.
It was, give me initials.
A.L.
Lazard.
Alan Lazard.
Yep.
30 touchdown catches now, from Aaron Rodgers.
Mercedes Lewis, is he on that list?
Mercedes Lewis is not on
the
list.
I didn't think he was.
No, he caught a couple, but not a lot.
How about Robert Bobby Tonyan?
Robert Bobby Tunyon's on there. 18 tied with Aaron Jones. Good job, guys.
And then early in his career, how about Jermichael Finley?
Jermichael Finley is correct.
That's the other tight end.
19 in just 6 years. Man. If he never got hurt, he was a stud tight end out of Texas. Now you've got two receivers left.
Okay.
Both of them played roughly around the same era.
Okay.
Okay. One of them had two stints. Okay. One was from 2007 to 2013.
Okay.
And then he also played for them in 2015.
Okay. Did one of them wear a hoodie?
Yes.
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
James Jones. 45 touchdown catches. Now, the last guy on this list is known now for him being an analyst in the media. He was a second-round pick in 2006.
Okay.
If I give the college, it's going to give it away.
Okay.
All right? 42 touchdown catches.
Was this another guy that went to the Vikings?
Yes, it was.
He kind of spurred the Packers and Rodgers with the name of Greg Jennings.
Yes, it was Greg Jennings. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. 42 touchdown catches. So the order was Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, James Jones, Greg Jennings, Alan Lazard, Donald Driver, Jermichael Finley, Robert Tonyan, and Aaron Jones are the top 10 in terms of catching touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers, who, in case you missed it, will be retiring at the end of the season. According to him. Yes, we want to make that known. Who knows with him these days? Let's be real.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Nobody knows.
Okay, I'll shut up. All right. Let's go ahead and take a look at some local sports once again here before we wrap up the sports queue for today. First off, Again, as we mentioned, coming up tomorrow, it's the WIAA Division III Baseball Regional Quarterfinal from Tyler Carl Memorial Field as number 8 seed Tomahawk takes on number 9 seed Crandon. Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show will begin at 4:35 on Sports Talk 810 97.7 FM WJJQ. Quick reminder, they will be streamed on the WJJQ mobile app as well. Keith Hansey will join me in the broadcast booth. If Tomahawk wins, they will play in the regional semifinal on Tuesday. That will be in Stratford. Stratford, one of the best small school programs in the area. Coming up on Friday, it's the WIAA Division II track and field sectional meet from Rice Lake, the Rice Lake Lakers. That will get underway at 4 o'clock. And then the WIAA Division II golf sectional meet gets underway at the Spooner Golf Club a week from today. We'll probably have some results for you during our show next week. If we have it, that gets underway at 9 o'clock. So, I know that I said before that the schedule is supposed to end a week from today, but let me just give everyone a heads up as well. Baseball playoffs is weird in the WIAA in that most baseball playoffs, or sports playoffs in general, you'll have games on Thursday, on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. The baseball regional final is always on a Wednesday. So if Tomahawk ends up pulling off the upset and goes to the regional final, they will have that game at 4:30 or 5 o'clock a week from today. If they are playing in the regional final, Keith and I will be doing that game, no questions asked. So if that's the case, then the sports queue will be pushed to Thursday. So just keep that in mind, okay? We'll also have some of our top 10 broadcast calls from this past school year as well. John will definitely be on the mic for some of them. Keith will be on the mic for some of them as well. Again, another year in the books. If you want to keep an eye out on when the sports queue will return, looking at sometime in mid-August, so right before the football season starts, both NFL and high school. And, of course, football season is our favorite time of year. Doesn't get any better than that. Does not get any better than that. And I think they want to restart up the fantasy league. What do you think, guys?
I got robbed last year.
Sure.
I'm only doing it if Greg and Tim get in it.
Oh, really?
Was that in your new contract?
I actually slipped that in the contract.
Yeah. Because we're renegotiating mine right now.
Oh, so, really? Yeah, well, I know Keith has some outside stuff that he's going to be dealing with next year, so we will miss him. But he's more than welcome back on the show anytime he's available. Mm-hmm. John, it feels good to have you back, man. Did you have fun?
Oh, it's good to be back.
Yeah, I bet it does. Are you going to be back next week?
That's a good chance. I'll be back.
All right. There you go. Are you going to be back next week?
Unless I'm doing baseball.
There you go. There you go. See? Look at him. He's a smart man. That's a smart man right there. Again, be sure to tune in to the year finale of the Sports Queue a week from today here on WJJQ. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in throughout the course of the Sports Queue. Again, next week, we will do a quick recap of some Hatchet sports. We get a state qualifier. We might be able to get them in. John, you want to add something?
Just one last thing. I just want to thank Matt Tyler for not screwing up our mascot madness. 10 for 10, Matt. 10 for 10.
10 for 10. 10 for 10, Matt Tyler. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Matt? Did you hear that? Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. Have a sportacular week. See you guys next week. Hey!
Listening to the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.